President Cullerton and Speaker Madigan, Leader Redonio and Leader Durkin, Lieutenant Governor Simon and Attorney General Madigan, Secretary White, Treasurer Rutherford, members of the General Assembly, and distinguished guests. Good afternoon. I'd like to begin by recognizing two public servants who gave their full measure of devotion to all of us on Monday night. Illinois tollway worker Vincent Petrella lost his life doing his job. Vincent was struck and killed on I-88 while helping a truck driver in distress. He served with the tollway for 13 years. He leaves his wife Sandra and two young children behind. And we ask God to bless his immortal soul. Illinois State Police Trooper Douglas Balder was with Vincent that night. At this hour, Trooper Balder is battling for his life at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood. We thank him for his ethic of service, and we pray for his recovery. So please join me now in a moment of silence and prayer for Vincent Petrella and Trooper Douglas Balder. Thank you. In Illinois, we honor our heroes, and we're grateful for their service. And I'd like to welcome two more Illinois heroes, Sergeant Brent Adkins and Sergeant Benjamin Greist of the Illinois National Guard. Shortly after midnight, on Monday, January 6th, they answered the call. Multiple semis had jackknifed and caused a pileup on I-57 and I-70 near Effingham. The drifts were so thick and the snow falling so hard that even our snowplows could not clear the way. And more than 400 motorists were stranded in wind chills of 30 degrees below. Sergeant Adkins and Sergeant Greist traveled from the National Guard Armory in Mattoon through Arctic conditions in the middle of the night with their Wrecker in tow. That's a military vehicle that can lift more than 10 tons. They cleared the road and rescued hundreds of people. Thank you, sergeants, for getting the job done. Our Illinois National Guard is the best of the best, and we're very and profoundly grateful to every single member who volunteers for the Illinois National Guard. And we know that just weeks earlier, in November, many of our communities were devastated by deadly tornadoes. 8 people lost their lives, and 2,265 lost their homes. 6-year-old Brevin Hunter of Washington, Illinois, was one who lost his home. Brevin warned his mom to seek cover in their family's basement just moments before the tornado decimated their home. Brevin saved her life. Brevin and his family are here today, and let's give them applause. Way to go there, Brevin. Today and every day, we all belong to Washington, to Brookport, to Gifford, to New Minden, and to Diamond. We know that emergencies test the preparedness and resilience of our government and of our people. And we have been well tested. In the last 5 years, Illinois has been through 11 natural disasters. We've watched droughts plague our farmers, the backbone of our economy. We saw last April's pervasive flooding in 49 counties. We remember the tragic tornado in Harrisburg just 2 years ago. Extreme weather is a reality with devastating effects, and it demands our constant readiness. And each and every time, our state workers, our service members, and our first responders have gotten the job done. And I think it's important that we realize that it isn't just natural disasters were all that we managed in the past 5 years. Some of the disasters were of man-made variety. Exactly 5 years ago this day, I was sworn in as governor at Illinois' darkest moment. We were facing an unprecedented triple crisis of government corruption, economic collapse, and financial instability. We had one former governor in jail and another one on the way to jail. And our economy had plunged into the worst recession since the Great Depression, brought to its knees by greedy and corrupt financiers. And our financial house was on fire, set ablaze by decades of mismanagement and an utter lack of willingness to make tough calls. Hardworking people in Illinois lost their jobs, their homes, and their faith in those they'd entrusted with their votes. It was a perfect storm, and it left destruction in its path. We all knew that repairing the damage that had been done over decades would not happen overnight. But over the past 5 years, we've rebuilt, one hard step at a time, and we've been getting the job done. Illinois is making a comeback. First, we restored integrity to state government, passing a strong new ethics code, campaign finance reform, and a new constitutional amendment to allow voters to recall any governor guilty of corruption. When I took the oath of office, state government hadn't properly invested in our infrastructure in 10 years. But within 10 weeks, we passed the largest construction program in Illinois history. So far, we've built and repaired 7,595 miles of road, 1,311 bridges, and 978 schools. 5 years ago, Illinois did not guarantee equal rights to all couples. Our state did not even provide civil unions. Today, we embrace full marriage equality. It's the law of the land. And unlike our predecessors, we've made the tough calls to balance our budget. We cut more than $1 billion in state spending. We overhauled our Medicaid program to save taxpayers over $2 billion. And even as we took hard steps to return Illinois to sound financial footing, we did it with compassion, preserving the safety net to protect the most vulnerable. We also accomplished comprehensive pension reform, something that no governor or legislature had been able to do. Previous governors and legislators from both parties created the pension crisis. They did not make the required payments into the pension funds. There was no fiscal accountability, and it led to a culture of instability, shaking the confidence of taxpayers and businesses. Resolving Illinois' pension crisis was the tallest task of all. But together, we got the job done. Since I took office, we have made the full pension payment every single year. We passed a historic pension reform law for new employees in 2010. And last year, we enacted necessary and comprehensive pension reform that Moody's said may be the largest reform package implemented by any state in the nation. Thanks to all of you who voted yes. And a special thank you for the hard work of the Legislative Conference Committee members, Senator Raul, Representative Nekritz, Senator Biss, Representative Sanger, Representative Zalewski, Senator Murphy, Senator Brady, and Representative Tracy. And thank you, House Speaker Mike Madigan, and Senate President John Cullerton, and Leader Christine Rodonio, and Leader Jim Durkin. It was hard, it was painful, it took political courage, but together we got the job done. Today we can tell the people of Illinois, we stopped the bleeding, we turned the corner, and Illinois is making a comeback. But now, as we head into 2014, we know we have more work to do. That's why today I'm laying out a 5-year blueprint for jobs and economic growth in Illinois. It's a blueprint that builds on the foundation we've laid these past 5 years. And it's a blueprint that recognizes that a truly strong economy relies not just on jobs, but on fairness and inclusion. If we follow this blueprint, we'll do 3 things: create more jobs, deliver stronger education, and build an economy that works for everyone. Of course, economic growth always starts with jobs, and we've seen progress on this front. Since the recovery began in January of 2010, Illinois has added 280,000 private sector jobs. Unemployment was at 11.3% at the height of the Great Recession. And today, it's at its lowest point in almost 5 years. In fact, since last May, Illinois has led the Midwest in jobs, new jobs created. And 2 years ago, with the strong support of the Illinois Manufacturers Association and the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, we reformed our workers' compensation system and our unemployment insurance system. These reforms have saved hundreds of millions of dollars, but we know we have more, much more work to do. And we'll start with a renewed focus on small business. 3 out of every 4 Illinois employers are small businesses. And in the last 5 years, we've helped them. Through our Advantage Illinois program, we've provided loans and investments to help small business grow. One of them, AllCell, a new battery manufacturer on the southwest side of Chicago. AllCell has leveraged our programs to grow from 6 full-time employees to 40 in just 4 years. And today, they're exporting all over the world. AllCell's founder and CEO, Saeed Al-Holjaj, is with us here today. Saeed, we thank you and salute you and all of our small businesses for your hard work. They're all getting the job done, but we have to do more to support our small businesses, especially as they get started. In Illinois, new businesses have long paid a $500 LLC fee when they open up shop. Let's reduce this fee to $39, the lowest in the nation, and provide a boost to our innovators. This small but important step will encourage entrepreneurs to start their business and put more people to work right here in Illinois. And we won't stop there. Today I'm issuing an executive order to establish a small business advocate whose sole focus will be to examine policies and proposals through the lens of how they impact Illinois small businesses. Let's make life easier for our small businesses and make sure small business always means big business in Illinois. In the past 5 years, we've also worked to level the playing field for minority and women-owned businesses. We established a new revolving loan program at IDOT, thanks to the great work of Senator Maddie Hunter. And we expanded contracting goals for these small businesses. As a result, we've increased state contracts to minority and women-owned firms by nearly 60%. Since I took office, an increase of 1,921 contracts worth more than $120 million. In the Metro East, African American businesses and workers helped build the new Stan Musial Veterans Memorial Bridge over the Mississippi River, which we will soon dedicate. They're getting the job done, and our businesses need modern bridges, modern highways and railroads and water systems. A sound infrastructure is critical to to a strong economy. In the last 5 years, through our Illinois Jobs Now program, we've invested more than $31 billion into our infrastructure, and this has supported more than 400,000 jobs. Thanks to these investments, we constructed the Morgan Street Bridge in Rockford. We're building a wider Route 13 in Southern Illinois. We're expanding the John Deere Expressway in the Quad Cities, and construction is underway on the new Circle Interchange to relieve congestion on the Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Dan Ryan Expressways. After years of gridlock, we're moving forward on our plan to build a new South Suburban Airport. And we're making the Ileana Expressway a reality, which will create thousands of jobs and strengthen our position as the largest inland port in the nation. Through our Clean Water Initiative, we're investing more than $1 billion in clean water and creating 28,000 jobs along the way. And these are good jobs, jobs for welders, for cement masons, for truck drivers, for operating engineers, for pipe fitters, for painters, for carpenters, for laborers. Through these projects, we're replacing ancient water mains, upgrading sewers, and building wastewater treatment plants all over our state, including in Pekin, in Decatur, in Kankakee, in Rockford, Spring Valley, and Murfreesboro. To date, we received 91 clean water applications from communities across Illinois. And this year, we'll expand our clean water initiative and double this investment to include critical stormwater and flood control projects. When it comes to creating the infrastructure we need for a strong economy, we've been getting the job done. And there's more work to do. We've been also making progress when it comes to preparing our workforce for the 21st century jobs. Just on IllinoisJobLink.com, our employment opportunity website, there are more than 130,000 jobs available right now. But many of these jobs require very specific skills. And that's why we're preparing our workers for high-skill, in-demand jobs. That's a top priority. To help us fill those jobs, we've mobilized our education system behind our 60 by 2025 goal. We want 60% of our adult workforce to have a degree or a career certificate by the year 2025. And we've been exceeding our targets every year on this mission. Since 2008, our community colleges have grown the number of people graduating with degrees or career certificates by more than 30%. We've also expanded dual enrollment and early college opportunities for qualified students. But we can't finish the job if deserving students aren't able to afford a college education. So over the next 5 years, let's double the number of MAP college scholarships for students in need in Illinois. Our MAP scholarship program today helps about 140,000 students go to college. Students like Shamari Jackson and Adriana Rivas and Howard Brown, who are here today. By doubling the number of MAP scholarships, we can make sure deserving students in need are equipped to excel in the 21st century workplace. Another way that we can prepare our young people to succeed is through workplace experience. That's why we should expand our youth and young adult conservation corps. This will help at-risk young people get a job and gain valuable training and work experience. Through these programs, our young people will learn important skills and develop those skills while doing necessary work in state and local parks and conservation areas all across Illinois. Now, there's no question that our veterans already have strong skills, and we're making sure those skills count here in Illinois. Last year, I issued an executive order mandating the assessment of military training against our state licensing requirements. Thanks to the work that followed that executive order, we received funding from the National Governors Association, and in the coming academic year, we will launch veteran bridge programs for military medics to attain LPN degrees at Joliet Junior College, the College of DuPage, and Illinois Central College in Peoria. Our veterans got the job done for us when they served in uniform, and now we're getting the job done for them, making sure their training counts right here in Illinois. And part of our... Thank you. Part of our job strategy is investing in industries that are the future of the 21st century economy. That's why we invested in 1871, the digital hub in the merchandise mart that has grown over 200 startups and created more than 1,000 jobs in just 2 years. And that's why now we're going to invest in a new bio hub for pharmaceutical, medical device, and health IT startups. Our life science industry in Illinois has a $98 billion economic footprint, and our new bio hub is going to drive even more economic growth in that sector. And we should never forget, Illinois has always been a manufacturing hub, especially our auto manufacturers and their suppliers. When I took office, Chrysler employed just 200 people at its Belvedere plant. We partnered with Chrysler. And now Chrysler employs more than 4,700 workers at that same plant. 5 years ago, Ford had just one shift at its plant on the Chicago South Side. It had a total of 1,600 workers. We worked with Ford, and now Ford has three shifts with more than 5,100 workers. And in the last year alone, we've promoted Illinois around the world and gotten results. After my trade mission to Canada for PAL, a company that upgrades water systems, moved their North American headquarters to Elgin. After my trade mission to Germany, Rittal, an international manufacturer of IT and electrical enclosures, moved their North American headquarters from Ohio to Schaumburg. After our meetings in Japan, Nippon Sharyo, a world-class high-speed rail car manufacturer, chose Illinois for their expansion. And after meeting with Denmark's Grundfos, the largest water pump manufacturer in the world, they moved their North American headquarters to Downers Grove. That's more jobs and more opportunities for Illinois workers. Now, a strong economy also demands quality public education for all our students. And that starts with good teachers. Teachers change lives for the good. And in Illinois, we honor our teachers, and we appreciate their hard work. In the last 5 years, we've been getting the job done on education reform. Parents are now empowered with a report card on their children's schools. Teacher evaluations have strong benchmarks, and performance is prioritized over tenure. In fact, our reforms have become a model for the nation. But our unfinished job on education starts where it matters most, in early childhood. Study after study has shown that high-quality early childhood education provides the best return of any public investment we can make, more than $7 for every dollar invested. That's why our state invests in programs serving our at-risk children from birth all the way to kindergarten. Since I've taken office, I've always fought to preserve early childhood education from radical budget cuts. And we found a way to invest $45 million to build early childhood centers in high-need areas, such as Dalton and Kankakee and Cicero. Our state actually leads the nation in the number of three-year-olds attending preschool. But the status quo is not enough. It's not even close. The reality is more than a third of our youngest and most vulnerable children don't have the opportunity to attend early learning programs before they enter kindergarten. That's unacceptable. As at-risk children who don't receive early childhood education are 25% more likely to drop out of school, 40% more likely to become a teen parent, 50% more likely to be placed in special education, 60% more likely to never attend college, and 70% more likely to be arrested for a violent crime. Scripture tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's why today I'm calling for a bold Birth to Five initiative that will be focused on three keys to a healthy child: prenatal care, access to early learning opportunities, and strong parent support. This initiative actually starts before a mother gives birth to her child by ensuring that she has access to prenatal services throughout her pregnancy. The good news is that prenatal care is already available to expectant mothers with modest incomes through our existing programs. Yet 25% of our low-income mothers are not receiving the prenatal care they need. Children pay the price. Mothers who do not receive prenatal care are three times more likely to give birth to a low-weight baby, which leads to increased risks for cardiovascular disease, diabetes, learning difficulties, and poor development. And also, the taxpayers pay the price. The cost of a birth where a baby is low weight is five times that of a normal birth. In addition to significant medical needs that eventually burden the system, these children often require early intervention services, remedial education, and grade repetition. And they lose out on the opportunity to achieve their full potential. Through our Birth to Five initiative, over the next 5 years, we will work with our community partners, schools and hospitals and faith-based organizations to identify expectant mothers and connect them to prenatal services. We can ensure more children are born into the opportunities they deserve, and we can save taxpayers money. But we won't stop there. When the human brain is forming in a child's early life, it provides a critical window of opportunity to develop key academic, social, and cognitive skills that will determine success in school and in life. That's why the second pillar of our Birth to Five initiative is to provide every child with access to quality early learning opportunities. This is especially important for our African American and Latino children. Children like Cadence Marie Robinson, a five-year-old who I recently met when I visited Spencer Technology Academy on the west side of Chicago. She sat on my knee and she told me she was getting ready for kindergarten and that she then read the numbers on my business card to me, something that she could do thanks to the Head Start program that she was attending. With strong early childhood education, kids like Cadence are set on a path for long-term success. We're really, really proud of you, Cadence. Thank you very much for what you're doing. We also see the importance of early childhood education in people like Christine Nikpan. Raised by a single mom in Chicago's Pilsen neighborhood, Christine's family struggled every month to make ends meet. Her mother always knew she wanted more for her children, and after seeing a flyer, she enrolled Christine in an early learning program. Christine then went to high school, then to college, and last year she completed her master's degree at the University of Chicago. Today, she's a fellow at the Latino Policy Forum and striving for a career in early childhood. Good job and good choice, Christine. In 2009, I established the Governor's Office of Early Childhood Development. And as a result, we've secured federal grants from Race to the Top that are allowing us to deliver high-quality early care and education programs. By properly investing in existing early learning programs and making this a budget priority, we can transform lives and save taxpayers money. But we can't stop there. A parent is a child's first teacher and best teacher. Moms and dads play the most important role in promoting the healthy development of their children. And not all families, unfortunately, are equipped with the information and support that they need to create healthy learning environments. That's why the third critical part of our Birth to Five initiative calls for ensuring parents make sure they have the support and services that they need. Family involvement during preschool is linked with stronger pre-literacy skills, math skills, social skills, and a positive attitude. So over the next 5 years, we'll connect families to a range of services and training opportunities to help them support their children's education. We'll expand our home visiting program and build on innovative community partnerships in places like East St. Louis, Aurora, North Lawndale, and in Marion. Once our Birth to Five initiative is fully implemented, mothers will be connected with prenatal care to ensure the healthy birth and development of their children. Children in Illinois will have access to quality early learning, starting at birth, and parents will have the tools to lead their children towards success in school, college, careers, and beyond. Illinois can lead the nation in early childhood education. We already have the foundation in place, and now is the time to get the job done for Illinois' littlest. Giving our children the best start in life will lead to a stronger economy. But if our economy doesn't work for hardworking families, if it doesn't build the middle class, then our job is not done. The foundation of a strong economy is a strong middle class. In Illinois, we believe that if you work hard and you play by the rules, you deserve a fair shake. Every person, no matter what challenges he or she faces, deserves an opportunity. And that's why a big part of our blueprint today is ensuring all Illinoisans have the opportunity to pursue their dreams and enter the middle class. Building the middle class means keeping families in their homes. Thousands of hardworking Illinois families were in danger of losing their homes in the Great Recession. But we worked to fight foreclosure and promote affordable home ownership. We launched the Illinois Hardest Hit Program to help working families keep their homes. More than 11,000 families in nearly every county in our state have received the foreclosure prevention support they needed. We also launched Welcome Home Heroes to give military families an opportunity to buy a home after sacrificing so much to protect our freedom. Thanks to Welcome Home Heroes, 1,150 military families have accessed more than $140 million to help buy their homes. And we haven't forgotten about our neighbors with developmental disabilities. That's why we financed more than 2,100 new supportive housing units to provide individuals with disabilities more choices in their communities. And that's why we honor the example set by the students of Downers Grove North High School. They demonstrated last year what including everyone is all about. Ann Wagner, who has Down syndrome, missed her sophomore and most of her junior year in high school when she was diagnosed with leukemia. But her friends did not forget her. Her lifelong friend, Mary Doro, nominated Ann to be homecoming queen. And the students of Downers Grove North voted for Ann Wagner to be their homecoming queen. Ann and Mary, we're very proud of you. Building the middle class also means providing everyone with decent health care. Today, 144,000 more people have health coverage in Illinois who didn't have it a year ago. And many more will find coverage in the coming year through getcoveredillinois.gov. Thank you, Senator Heather Staines, Representative Sarah Feigenholz, Representative Lisa Hernandez, and Representative Mary Flowers for your health care leadership. This year, we really have a job to do for our fellow citizens who are making the minimum wage of $8.25 an hour. Our minimum wage workers are doing hard work. They're putting in long hours. Yet in too many instances, they are living in poverty. That's not right. That's not an Illinois value. That's not a fair shake. This is all about dignity and decency. I said it last year, and I'll say it again. It's time to raise Illinois' minimum wage to at least $10 an hour. Raising wages for workers who are doing some of the hardest jobs in our society is not just the right thing to do, it's also good for our economy. According to the Federal Reserve, for every dollar increase in the minimum wage, workers spend an additional $2,800 in their local communities. Minimum wage workers do not admire money in a bank vault. They spend it quickly and locally, a shot in the arm to our Main Street businesses. Let's get this job done and make our economy work for working families. And another way to help our working families is the Earned Income Tax Credit, a tax credit that President Reagan once said was the best anti-poverty, the best pro-family, the best job creation measure we could devise. In the last 5 years, we've doubled this tax relief for Illinois working families. And over the next 5 years, we should double it again. When more people enter the middle class, our economy grows. And one more thing. 43% of all workers in Illinois, more than 2.5 million people, have no right to a single earned sick day. Among our low-wage workers, the problem's even worse. 80% of low-wage workers don't receive any earned sick days. And we need to do something about this. We should provide at least 2 earned sick days for every worker in Illinois. We need to help our workers, especially our single parents, avoid that awful choice, dragging themselves from a sick bed to work or losing a day's pay, or maybe even their job. More than 70 years ago, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It's whether we provide enough for those who have too little." This, too, is about dignity and decency. Let's get this job done for working families in our state. 5 years ago, this very day, I stood before you and I asked for your prayers. Illinois was in a state of emergency, and there was no quick exit. There were no easy solutions. Recovery would require tough medicine and unpopular decisions, and it would take time. But by tackling hard issue after hard issue and never giving up, we are getting the job done. Illinois is making a comeback. The ratings agencies are sending positive signals for the first time in recent memory. The backlog of bills is going down. Unemployment is at its lowest point since the economy crashed. And according to the most recent Federal Reserve Bank report, in the next 6 months, Illinois is projected to have the best economic growth of the 5 largest states in America. Of course, we have financial challenges still ahead, and we'll be talking about the best way to meet those challenges in the upcoming budget. But the fact is, our recovery is strengthening every day, and we're leading that recovery in a way that cares for working families. Pope Francis has urged all of us to say no to a financial system which rules rather than serves. Say no to an economy of exclusion and inequality. Say no to a world in which the powerful feed upon the powerless. The Pope's right. Illinois is best served when we build and protect the middle class, when we open the door to those struggling to join the middle class. And by following the steps that I've outlined here today, creating more jobs, making early childhood education a top priority, and building an economy that works for everyone, we can create a stronger economy than ever before and reform Illinois for the next generation. So I ask today for your partnership. Together, we've weathered the worst man-made storm in our state's history. We've led Illinois' comeback, one hard step at a time. We've worked to repair decades of damage, and we're getting the job done. Let's keep our shoulder to the wheel and finish that job. Let's make the will of the people the law of the land. Thank you.